Hello and welcome to this monthly roundup from the Cochrane Library. I'm John Hilton, editor at the Cochrane Editorial Unit. The October 2011 issue of the Cochrane Library includes 41 new reviews and 38 updated reviews, and we feature one of those updates in this roundup. We'll also hear two reports from the recent Cochrane Colloquium in Madrid. This month's featured Cochrane review looks at the use of human albumin, a blood product that can be given to people who have lost a lot of blood due to trauma, burns or surgery. The first version of this review was published back in 1998, and the latest update adds new research and confirms the earlier findings about the potential harms of this treatment. One of the review authors, Ian Roberts from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine in England, explains more.
Human albumin is licensed for use in hypovolemic shock, for burns, and for patients with hypoalbuminemia, that's low levels of circulating albumin in the blood. It's a very expensive intervention, and there's the question whether or not it has any advantages over something like normal saline, which is a much cheaper alternative. To answer this question, we searched for all randomized controlled trials of human albumin solution compared to either no human albumin or saline in the licensed conditions. We found 38 trials meeting the inclusion criteria that reported death, which was the primary outcome in this systematic review. There were a total of 1,958 deaths among the 10,800 or so trial participants. For hypovolemia, the relative risk of death following albumin administration was 1.02, with a confidence interval of 0.92 to 1.13. This estimate was heavily influenced by the results of the SAFE trial, which was a really remarkable trial conducted by the Australia New Zealand Intensive Care Society, which randomised 7,000 patients to receive human albumin solution or saline. Taken together in the context of all results of human albumin administration in hypovolemia, there's absolutely no evidence that albumin improves survival. For burns, the relative risk of death with human albumin is 2.93, suggesting that there may be an increased risk from giving human albumin. And for hypoalbuminemia, the relative risk was 1.26. Now, in both these cases, for burns and hypoalbuminemia, the quality of the included trials was not very good, and they were relatively small trials, and so the estimates are imprecise. So we can't really be sure that albumin does in fact increase mortality, as these results imply. However, there's absolutely no evidence that they reduce mortality, and we use treatments in healthcare if they're shown to be effective, not if they have not been shown to be harmful. So in this case, we've got no evidence that human albumin solution improves outcome in hypovolemia, and a trend towards increased mortality in burns and hypoalbuminemia. Now, healthcare systems all around the world are short of money at the moment. There's a global economic crisis. In the light of this evidence, it doesn't seem to be prudent to use an expensive drug called human albumin when the best evidence suggests that a much cheaper alternative, saline, is at least as good and may even be better.
You can read this update and all the other new and updated Cochrane reviews at thecochranelibrary.com. The 19th annual Cochrane Colloquium, held in Madrid in October, had the theme Scientific Evidence for Healthcare Quality and Patient Safety. While many people attending the colloquium were Cochrane veterans, others were attending for the first time. My colleague Sabrina Peterson joined the organisation recently and describes her experiences of her first colloquium.
When I first walked into the colloquium, I was amazed at all the different countries that were represented in helping with the mission of Cochrane. It has always been my dream to be involved in global health, and I was happy to be a part of an organization that works to make healthcare understandable to all people, regardless of where they are in the world. In Madrid, I felt we were continuing a tradition of individuals who, from different cultures and languages, help our neighbors understand their care and have the information they need to make their decisions. I really learned a lot, especially in the workshop on how to ask an answerable question regarding healthcare decisions. The workshop was led by members of the U.S. Cochrane Center, and through listening to them, I began to understand the various facets that come into play in order to have everything you need to make a sound decision.
As Ian explained earlier, it is important to assess the quality as well as the strength of the evidence when making decisions about healthcare interventions. The GRADE Working Group aims to establish common, sensible ways of grading quality of evidence and strength of recommendations, and includes many people from the Cochrane Collaboration. As well as being Cochrane's annual gathering, the colloquium provides an opportunity for other meetings, and Toby Lassison, senior editor at the Cochrane Editorial Unit, reports back from a meeting organised by the GRADE Group.
I attended the all-day meeting of the GRADE Working Group, which followed the Madrid Cochrane Colloquium. There were a number of items that made for an engaging and successful discussion, such as establishing a network of GRADE centres, or collaborating centres, to train people in applying GRADE principles and methods to systematic reviews and guidelines, and adapting GRADE to systematic reviews of diagnostic test accuracy. Of special importance to Cochrane reviews was the small group work on possible changes to the format of summary findings tables. This discussion helped to clarify in my mind a distinction between preference of format, what people want to see when being presented information, irrespective of whether they understand it, and understanding, what people understand from what's being presented, irrespective of whether they like the format. Subsequent to the meeting, I was alerted to a presentation posted on the web by David Spiegelhalter on visualising the numbers that are often reported in summary finding tables. Numbers, words or pictures. It'll be interesting to see how the discussion around summary findings tables develops and what changes are agreed.
You can find out more about GRADE from their website at www.gradeworkinggroup.org. And you can see David Spiegelhalter's presentation in the video section of understandinguncertainty.org. Thank you for listening to this October 2011 roundup from the Cochrane Library.